let's turn to a couple of verses from the closing part of the fourth chapter of John's first epistle, 1 John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Amen. This is a message or a point John makes repeatedly. When I read these two verses, I thought, I'm sure I've spoken on that idea about three or four times already. And that, of course, is because we're dividing the letter up week by week, whereas really, in one respect, it should be read as a whole. But it's also true that we need to be reminded of the most basic things, because we are inclined to forget the most basic things. And that, of course, can be to do with doctrine. We have to be reminded, we ought to be reminded, it is a pleasure to be reminded of our redemption. Sometimes I or other preachers will come to our pulpit and they'll preach what we might term a gospel sermon. They're preaching the good news. They're giving a basic explanation of the way back to God. And we might look around and think, there's no unbelievers in tonight. Oh well, maybe they'll hear on the internet. But in truth, it does us good to be reminded of the good old gospel of sin's forgiveness, because we are inclined to forget. And perhaps John is wondering if we might be inclined to forget this very basic way of Christian living, which is a living born of love. Our song that we just sang ended with the words, "And I love you, Lord." And John here addresses people who claim to love God, but hate their brother, which I think probably means a fellow believer, although he could simply refer to a brother human being. And John is always very direct. He says, "Such a one is a liar." So the one described in verse 20 has a religion which speaks well, which sounds well, but it's tinged with hypocrisy. Because while his lips are claiming to love God, he hates his brother, whom God loves, whom God created, and for whom Christ died. And the closer we get to God in our Christian walk, the more we see things from his perspective. The more at home we are with eternity, and the less at home we are with the world. And here is a false believer, a liar, who's all talk. But when you peel away the layers, there's actually a hatred there in the heart, which is inconsistent with a love for God. And he adds a little explanation. "For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen?" We have not seen God. One day we will see him. But we have not seen him. We read about him in God's words. We may have felt his touch. We may have felt the filling of his Holy Spirit. that wonderful section in Revelation where it says, and they will see his face. We will see him one day, but right now, we cannot see him. And John's point is, if you're not capable of loving the person next to you, whom you can see and smell and touch, how can you claim to love the one whom you've not seen? Furthermore, the brother who is hated in verse 20, he has been made by God. All people are made by God. He's made in the image of God, and that image of God, of course, was broken at the time of Adam. It was marred, it was spoiled, and yet there is something of it still remaining. There is a unique value given to every human being because they're a human being made in the image of God, not because of what they have achieved or what they have done. And if, of course, he is a brother, he is a fellow believer, he is one with whom we're going to spend eternity, so we might as well get used to him now. When we get to heaven, I'm not sure there'll be many or any opportunities to be generous, because nobody will be in want. Will there be any opportunities to be compassionate when nobody suffers? Will there be any opportunities to forgive? Those virtues are for now. And if we cannot demonstrate those virtues now, John indicates in verse 20 that the one who claims to love God is in fact a liar and is unlikely to even be there. God dwells in his people. I cannot see God this evening, but I can see you, in whom the Spirit of God is dwelling. And if I hate you, I cannot claim to love God. And John reiterates it in verse 21. This commandment we have from him, who is the him, Jesus Christ himself, that he who loves God must love his brother also. In other words, says John, this is not an extra. This is not the kind of like luxury grade believer. There was a movement in the late 19th century, the higher Christian life. And it suggested that there were two types of believer. You've got the average Christian, but then you've got the Christian who is more sanctified, more holy. He is living the higher Christian life. And the aim of every Christian was to kind of like move up onto that higher grade. But John does not make that distinction here. He does not say, well, there are two types of believers. There's like the B-grade believer, and they're quite loving, but not as loving as they ought to be. And then there's the A-grade believer, and they love everybody all the time because they're really close to God. He does not say that. He who loves God must love his brother also. In other words, it is mandatory. It is a requirement. It is one of the evidences of salvation that we are able to love people whom we may not actually like nor agree with. But it's deeper and better than that. We can love them. Our love for each other is surely a reflection of God's love for us. Does God like everything about me? I'm sure that is not the case. But does he love me? Well, the Bible tells me so. And if God loves me, despite not liking everything I do, how much more should I love others? If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he does not love. He who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Two simple verses, the message of which we've heard before, and yet once again, a continued challenge to all of us. Amen.